Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Great to be here. I didn't see those hands. How many? Could I see that hand again? Wow, look at that, Pastor. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to say thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to be here today. And we have some information in the foyer, the lobby there, that explains a little bit about our ministry. But before we do, I just want to say thank you, Pastor and Betty. Nice to meet you for the first time. And D. Miller, this is the reason why I'm here outside of Jesus. Well, Jesus is working. You know, God uses people, right? Can I get an amen? I'm from New York City, so when we preach, we have a little conversation with the members. And so D. Miller has been tonight. I think D., you've been so many times tonight, and we're going to have to name a wing at our ministry, the D. Miller wing. Amen. Give it up for D. How about it? Amen. Blessing, a sister in the Lord. And so New York School of Urban Ministry was founded in 1984 with the purpose of training and equipping the body of Christ in hands-on compassion evangelism. We have students from Elam Bible College, Zion, Regent University. We've had people from Gordon. We have churches, Baptists, Methodists, Assembly of God, Independent. Anyone that names the name of Jesus to come to our training center in the heart of New York City. We're 5 minutes from LaGuardia Airport. And God gave us a 74,000 square foot hospital building. And we were in a 14,000 square foot building, and we took a bold step of faith. And one of our co-founders said, it's the mouse that ate the elephant. And we converted the patients' rooms into dormitories. So now, in the past, we could only house about 80. Now we can house over 300 people. And they come from churches like Acts and Everett Assembly and churches in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I used to live in Pennsylvania. By the way, tomorrow, I'm sorry my wife is not here. She came down with bronchitis about a week ago. And but she's here. My mother-in-law lives in the town of Everett, the metropolis. I'm from New York City, so always on my mom, my mother-in-law's case, but she's the best mother-in-law I could ever have, amen? And but this church is very dear to our heart because my father-in-law, who is a retired pastor, pastored five churches in his life, pioneered one church in Portage, Pennsylvania. But he got sick a few years back, and he ended up going into hospice care. And it was Pastor John that came to our family's aid. And that's how we got connected with Pastor John, his lovely wife, and this church. So my mother-in-law sends her greetings. So here we are by the grace of God. Isn't it amazing? We're already in August. I mean, it's hard to believe. But God is with us, amen. Since God be what for us, who can be against us, amen. So I have a word that I want to share with you. This is not just an infomercial, but God has been blessing our ministry since NYSEM started in 1984. We're able to train and equip and deploy over 40,000 people in hands-on ministry, street ministry, prayer station, block parties, food truck evangelism, and we network with inner city pastors and churches all over the city of New York. Yesterday, we were able to go to Coney Island Gospel Assembly, partner with that church, our dear friend Pastor Connie. The church was started about 1940 or so, and by her parents, and they passed on. She continues the legacy. And we were able to give out over 300 backpacks with school supplies to inner city children. Man, you want to put a smile on a kid's face? Give God praise. Amen. Children, inner city kids, all different nations, nationalities. Our food truck was there. We had a church from Toronto, Canada that came down called Kennedy Road Tabernacle, about 30 of them. deployed. And the whole purpose of our ministry is to train and equip the body of Christ in New York City, in the mission field. Do you know there are 800 languages, five and a half, 6 hours from here, Pastor? The mission field. Say, well, I don't know if I can go to Jamaica. I don't know if I can go to Vietnam. I don't know if I can go to Venezuela. Guess what? They're all 6 hours from here. And let me tell you, the little bit of Jesus that we think we have, and, well, I'm a little fearful. I really don't know. Let me tell you, you know what? When people are in darkness, and even if you have a little match, guess what? That's called the light of Jesus. Amen? So they will be changed. And the harvest is so great. People are just looking for someone to come and help them. Not a handout, but a hand up in the name of Jesus. Have you had a hand up in your life? I have, by the grace of God. So if we could have the house lights one more time. We just want to show this 60-second clip. God gave us a food truck. I'm going to share a little testimony with you in just a moment. But we dedicated it last Thanksgiving. And it's been on the road, and in New York City, if you have a food truck, you're going to have a crowd. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You say, well, you know, nobody knows my name. They know food truck. They smell food. And guess what? But we're not feeding them just their stomachs. We're feeding them body and soul by the grace of God. God bless you. Amen. To God be the glory. Can we get an amen here in the house? Amen. And so where we dedicated it, that is at our campus. And Dee, you haven't been on that food truck yet, so we gotta work that out and get a team from this church. It'll be great this fall. Thanksgiving is around the corner. Christmas, at Thanksgiving we feed over about 2,500 people full turkey dinners. It's not drive-by turkey. 400 turkeys give their lives for that outreach. So there's hope for you and me. And at Christmas time, Christmas Compassion, right at the beginning of Christmas, we give out 3,000 toys to inner city kids. Women, mothers, weeping in city shelters. They said, we could not have Christmas for our children without your teams from your ministry. So to God be the glory. God has helped us. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me to page 1065. You know exactly where that is. That's in the book of Jude. It's right before Revelation, book of Jude. And I was going to speak on another passage of Scripture, but I just felt prompted to change. And we're going to look into the word of the Lord in just a moment. Amen. Jude 1. You don't really even say Jude 1. There's only one chapter, so you just say Jude. And this is what it says. Jude, verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved in Jesus Christ, called, mercy unto you, peace be multiplied. Beloved, Acts Church, this is what he's saying to us. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you. Let's all bow in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Could we just lift one hand right now to the Lord right now? Father, we thank you that you woke us up this morning. You set us upon a path. But Lord, not only waken us in our body, but waken our spirit, Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. We thank you for even the name of this church, Acts Community Church. Lord, let the book of Acts come alive today, I pray. Awaken us, Lord, to that which you have before us, which is the call of God. Thank you for Pastor Adam and Betty and the leadership, Lord. Thank you for Pastor John and his lovely wife laying down, pioneering this work many years ago. Let your work go forward, we pray, in Bedford and Everett, Lord, all the way to Pittsburgh, to Philadelphia, Lord, all the way to Lock Haven, to the nations of the world. God, today we are your people. So, God, this is our prayer we ask in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, now, writers believe that Jude was not the apostle Jude, but was Jude, the half-brother of Jesus, like James. And in fact, the book of Jude, it doesn't even say like the Pauline epistles. It doesn't say 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. It doesn't have Colossians or Thessalonians, because those are the books that Paul was writing specifically to those churches. Jude is much like James, a general epistle. Not that it's anything less, but in other words, when you say a general epistle, it means whether you're in Corinth, whether you're in Thessalonica, whether you're in Athens, whether you're in Mars Hill, Jude is saying this book, this what I'm going to write to you today, is for the whole body of Christ. Are you with me today? In fact, writers have said that Jude was not a believer until after the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. And so here is Jude writing, and think about, he's writing to us. This is not just an epistle, it's a letter. And he tells us why he's writing this letter. The title of this message is World Changers. I don't know about you. I don't want to be a whiner. I want to be a winner. Amen. I want to be a world changer. I want to change my sphere of influence. Maybe you can't go to New York City. Maybe you can't go to Pittsburgh. Maybe you can't go to Pakistan. But guess what? As we're asking God to make us a world changer, we could be a world changer at Walmart. We could be a world changer at the Everett Food Liner. I know I've been around this place here. I love this. I love coming back here in this beautiful, beautiful territory. We don't get fried chicken like they have out here. We don't get that nice corn. I mean, corn in New York City for 3 years, $12. Lord, have mercy. So here, God is asking us today, he's asking us, would you be a world changer? What does that mean? In other words, we look at the sphere of influence God has given to us. That is our mission field. Could be True Value. It could be as you're going to buy a tractor, maybe that owner or the salesperson doesn't even know Jesus as their Savior. Years ago, we had a young lady. She was on a team of about 40 from South Carolina. They came up, and God was using them. They had these T-shirts, but then they had this hat, and it was sort of like they had some sort of like lightning bolt all embroidered in between the slogan that they had. I can't remember what the slogan said, but something about Youth Alive or something. And she's on her day off with her team at Rockefeller Center. This is 10:30 in the morning. And there is a guy at the register. He's about 25 years of age. And so she's just checking out, getting all some stuff from New York City, you know, the Empire State Building and coffee mug that says New York, just minding her own business. And the guy says, hey, what's all this about this lightning rod and the lightning bolt and Youth Alive? And within 60 seconds, she downloads the message of salvation. And at 10:30 in the morning, the guy that's the register clerk there, tears start streaming down his face. And 60 seconds later, in the middle of Midtown Manhattan, the big sin city, let me tell you, the Bible says where sin did abound, what? Grace. Say grace. Grace did much more abound. And at 10:30 in the morning, 15 years old, never been to Bible school, bridal school, never been to cemetery or whatever you call that place, but just loving Jesus, and led that young man to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can we say amen today? How to be a world changer. Jude is challenging the body of Christ at large. And I just sense in this season, you know, Pastor Adam, as I was reading the word, and then I went on Facebook this morning, and I was so encouraged, because when I got my face in the book, hello, are you there? This is the best Facebook you could ever have. Jacob knew that. Moses knew that. His face came off the mountain and showed with the glory. This is the best Facebook we could ever be in, because it will change your heart and it will change your life. That other Facebook, I don't measure up. I'm too fat. I'm too skinny. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm not qualified. I'm disqualified. This Facebook says you're called. You're qualified. You're anointed. You're not the tail. You're the head. As Pastor just read in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. This is the greatest Facebook page we could ever read, because God has a great blog, and it's not depression. It's not oppression. He's come to lift us up. Can I get an amen in the house? So, three principles. What does it mean to be a world changer? Number one, Jude challenges the people of God. He said, I need to write to you today because, number one, of the common salvation. Say common. In other words, it's not just common. It means that everybody needs to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, whether we're rich, whether we're poor. Romans 3:23, what does the Bible say? For all have what? Sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I hear people today, even in the church, well, you don't really need to confess Jesus as your Savior. You really don't need to pray the sinner's prayer. And now what's happening is the culture that we're living in is encroaching upon the church to weaken the church. What does Paul the Apostle say in Romans 1? He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. How many need power today? It's through the blood of Jesus Christ. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see. He said, I need to write to you today to remind you that we're all sinners saved by grace. I'm not all that, amen? You're not all that, but Jesus is all that. I need to write to you. I need to encourage you, Jude says. Don't forget of that common salvation. We all have sinned and fallen short. We all have wandered like sheep, have gone astray, but thank God he rescued me. Amen. How many has been rescued by the grace of Jesus Christ? We should be dead today. Some of us should not be here today. Some marriages shouldn't even be put back together today. But the grace of Jesus, because he made a way for us, now we have a blessed hope that we can move forward to. So here Jude says this again. Beloved, verse 3. When I gave all diligence, because what's happening is from the time, you know, it's one thing when you first come to know Jesus as your Savior, you're on steroids, right, Pastor? I mean, you know, every demon force, every stronghold, I mean, you're just ready to go to, get on a plane and go to Rome and talk to the Pope, you know? I mean, talk to him about, you know, John 3:16. But what happened is Jude is saying, you know what, church, you love Jesus, you love God, but because the culture, because of our society, you're starting to get a little bit weak, starting to maybe drift a little bit. And he said, I need to write unto you and remind you, guess what? We all needed Jesus as our Savior. I believe also Jude is writing out of his own encounter with God, because even when Jesus was on the planet for over 3 years, he was not a believer. He was a skeptic, the half-brother of Jesus. Are you kidding me? He raised Lazarus from the dead. I mean, Jude, what is your problem? And you know what? Don't you love the Lord? He's so gracious. He doesn't beat us up. He doesn't condemn us. You never see in the Bible, in the New Testament, Jesus coming against his own half-brother. Maybe if it was you or me, you say, are you kidding me? How many more miracles do I have to do until you come to know Jesus as the Savior? He didn't do that. He just kept praying, kept loving, kept caring. Isn't that the Lord? Isn't that how Jesus ministers? Even the Bible says when the religious people came and they saw this woman, not like, well, I think maybe it happened a few days ago, maybe last night. The Bible says caught in the act of adultery. And there's all the religious people right there. See, that's what happens. Religion destroys, but Jesus comes to lift up. Amen. And he said, you who are without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he looked at the woman. He didn't rebuke her. He didn't condemn her. He said, honey, you don't have to do this anymore. Go and sin. Go and be free. And then, isn't that awesome? That's what Jesus does. Religion says, now you got to go through, 30 steps, and you got to go to this program and do this and do that. Those situations have its place for those that might be in deep, deep drug addiction or something. But he said, listen, honey, go and be free. Go and sin no more. Number two, he says, not only I'm going to write unto you, and I need to write unto you, and I'm writing to you today of the common salvation, but it's needful for also me to write unto you and exhort you, number two, to contend for the faith. Say it with me. Contend for the faith. Say it again. Contend for the faith. Say it to your neighbor. Contend for the faith. Now wake up your other neighbor. Contend for the faith. Now, we have this wonderful platform here. Consider this as a boxing ring. Anybody ever seen boxing on TV? YouTube? Come on, can I see your hand? That's it. Boxing. And they have in this corner Muhammad Ali, the great champion. And you have the announcer. Some of the young people, Pastor, are not going to know who I'm talking about. Howard Cosell. Here he is. Muhammad Ali. Here he is. Walks like a butterfly, stings like a bee. Doesn't know what's going to happen tonight. Here we are in the Grand Arena in Madison Square Garden. Anybody going on to Muhammad Ali, forget it. They're done. They're finito. They're finished. They're like roadkill by the time Muhammad Ali gets done with this guy. And then you have this other guy over here. He's like a zero. Who is this person? And what do they call this person that's going to fight against the opposing person? The contender. And here is the contender. He is the one that's going to stand up against a Muhammad Ali, against the forces that would try and cause him to come down. And Jude says, sort of like a boxing ring, every day when we get out of bed, you go to your office, you go to the school, you go to the bank, you're a blue collar, you're a white collar worker, we're in the boxing ring of society. And we are the contenders. And the Lord is saying to us today, contend for the faith. In other words, don't be a pushover for the enemy. When you see that in New York City, just about 6 hours from here, we have a homeless population of over 100,000 homeless people. Are you kidding me? You think we're in a third world country? We are. Right now, the homeless population and Department of Homeless Services in New York City is already completely maxed. And from the southern border, we've already received our city 2,800 refugees. And there's more coming. There was some that were just came last night, according to what I read in the newspaper. And so some people will say, really, why don't they just go back to their country? Why don't we just do something else? Why do they have to get here anyway? What does the Bible say? For God so loved, not just America. It's not, this is not a, listen, if you have that mindset, may God help you today to open up your mind, because this is not an American gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ transcends America. I mean, I've been around the world. This, listen, we're not the only show in town. I've seen people come to know Jesus in India, in Africa, in Israel. God is moving. What does the Bible say? Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, and all they that dwell therein. Can I get an amen here today? Do you know that it's not just the poor, the naked? How about the word stranger? Do you know that if you put in the word stranger and ask Siri, Siri and I have a wonderful communication time. Thank God for Siri. But I go from Siri to the Savior. Amen. And so I asked Siri, and Siri said, do you know that there are 123 verses in the Bible that all speak about stranger? I'll give you a couple verses real quick. It says right here in Exodus 22, 21, it says, this is what the Lord is saying to God's people. You shall neither vex a stranger nor oppress him, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. How about that one? Exodus 23, verse 9. And you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger, seeing you were strangers in the land of Egypt. What does that word mean, contend? It means that we are not on the defense, we're on the offense. We're moving forward. We're asserting ourselves. We're trusting you, Lord. How can the gospel go forward in my life and through my life to reach a world, to reach a society? Because there's people in the church, Pastor, and even out of the church. And people will say, well, you know, they made their bed. Let them sleep in it. Is that really the heart of Jesus? The heart of Jesus. For God, so what? He loved. He wrapped his arms around him. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan and the lawyer. And what do I enter the, how do I get into the kingdom? How do I know God? He says, you shall love your neighbor. He says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Oh, I got that. Okay, the lawyer is saying, oh, check box there, check, check, check. And he said, oh, by the way, Jesus said, one last thing. Oh, love your neighbor as your, oh, they know the word, brother. You're doing very, very good. Thank you, Pastor. And the lawyer, he's so smart, the lawyer. He says, who is my neighbor? And then he tells this little story about a man who went from Jerusalem to Jericho. You know the story, and was all beat up and so on. And the Pharisee comes by. He had to go to a conference. He wasn't available. And then the Levite goes a little closer, says, well, you know what? I don't think your type is going to fit into our denomination. So we carry it. And a Samaritan, which a Samaritan is not Jew or Gentile. It's a sort of a mix. And comes and ministers. You know the story. Goes in, brings him into the Holiday Inn down at Breezewood and takes care of him. And I'll come back. Put it on my tab. Whatever you need. Whatever this man needs. And then finally Jesus said, what do you think about all the, he says, the one that went and had compassion, went the extra mile, that is the person. And Jesus said to the lawyer, you go and do what? Do likewise. Contend. Listen, church. We need to be the voice of the unborn. We need to be the voice of senior citizens. We need to be the voice of the voiceless. We need to be the voice of Jesus. We need to be the voice of, like John the Baptist, who was crying in the wilderness. I am that voice of one crying in the wilderness. God can do something contending. He says over Paul the Apostle, says in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, what does Paul the Apostle say? Fight the good fight of faith. You're not going to take this one today, devil. Not today, not tomorrow, not next week. And the world will say, this person is a loser. This person doesn't have what... Listen, all of us don't have what it takes. That's why Jesus had to come 2,000 years ago. Because it's not that fact that I'm so good, I'm so... Our righteousness, the Bible says, is filthy rags. But we take his righteousness. He's our Father. He's our elder brother. He's our Savior. He's our King. He's the God of a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance. How many chances have you had in life where people gave up on you, but God didn't give up on me? That's why I'm here today, by the grace of God. Thank you, my brother. I'm preaching in Brooklyn next Sunday. You be there, okay? If not, we'll fax yourself in. Exodus 22, verse 30. The prophet said, I sought for a man who would, what? Stand in the gap and build up the hedge that I might not destroy. You and I may be the only light. You say, no, God, get me out of Walmart. Get me out of Denny's. Get me out of Eaton Park. Get me out of this town. Let me go to a cave somewhere and drink Kool-Aid until Jesus comes. He didn't die for Bambi. He died for the sins of man. C.T. Studd, the old missionary, you know what he said? He said, you know what? He said, I don't want to sit by the bells of a chapel. I want to run a soup kitchen 1 yard from hell. I say, that's me, C.T. Studd. I'm going to be right there with you, spooning out the food, because I've seen the power of God, what the power of the gospel is able to take homeless people and naked people and bruised people and hurting people and mentally challenged people and see God bring them back together and restore them. And now they're serving Jesus in churches and in New York City and other parts of the world. Can I get an amen? Can we put our hands together and say thank God by his grace? Contending for the faith. When you contend for the faith, your faith will be challenged as well. Remember, we had an old truck, and God was used that vehicle and so on, but then it died, went to truck heaven. And I said, God, we need another truck. And the Lord says, okay, I'll make it happen. And I waited a month, and I said, well, Lord, don't you remember? He says, I know exactly what. I got your email, your snail mail. I know your zip code. I know the hairs upon your head are numbered. And so I said, well, what? He says, listen, I got this. Just trust me. So 6 months goes by, and once in a while I gently reminded the Lord. He says, I got this. Will you trust me? And so the need is so great. In New York City, 35% of New Yorkers right now are food insecure. On any given night, over 25,000 children lay their head on a pillow in New York City shelters. I say, God, something is wrong here. You have to do something. We have to reach beyond ourselves, contending. Say it with me, contending for the faith. God, you have to do something. Be assertive by the grace of God. Fight the good fight of faith. And so I go to a pastor's conference up at Elam, south of Rochester, New York, Elam Bible College, and I'm there talking with some of my mentors and elders that were there. And this young man comes to me, a former staff member. He's tapping me on the shoulder. And I'm like, you know, brother, I'm talking to the spiritual men of God. I mean, these people are serious. And I sort of pushed him away. And I felt bad after that. And then the next day he comes to me. I said, Joe, forgive me. I'm sorry. I pushed you away. And tell me, what was so urgent on your mind? And he says, oh, I just want to let you know I'm in Lancaster, Pennsylvania now with my wife. And And, you know, he served the Lord 5 years with us on staff, very faithful. He said, but I'm in Lancaster now, and God is blessing us, and God gave us a food truck. I'm like, I don't want to hear about that testimony. Lord, I need that. I need a food truck. What are you talking about? The Lord says, are you kidding me? Would you just trust me? I'm trying to tell you something here. So I said, okay, so I'm saying this to myself, not to Joe. And so he's telling me, yeah, I'm going down this country road out by Grantville, outside of Hershey. There's nothing there. And all of a sudden, I'm going down the road, and I see this big car dealership, and I see this big white truck in the back. I keep driving. The Holy Spirit said to me, turn around and go back in there. So he goes and checks out the truck, and the sales rep says, yeah, it's for sale, $12,000. No, I don't have $12,000. He starts to walk out, take my car. He says, listen, bro, I don't have the 12 grand. Okay, well, just take my card anyway. Okay, exchange numbers. The next morning, the manager calls Joe and says, I'll tell you what, we'll sell you the truck for $6,000. Oh, $6,000. Come on, Jesus. Hallelujah. So he says, well, I have to think about it, pray about it. I'll talk to my wife. Sometimes it's one and the same, talking to the Lord and your wife. But anyway, moving right along. And so they talked to their donors, and they decided to take a step of faith because what are they doing? Contending. Say it with me. Contending for the faith. Muhammad Ali, you may walk like a butterfly, sting like a bee, but guess what? Greater is he that's in us. Amen. Than he that is in the world. What is your Muhammad Ali? I don't know. It might be the voice of despair, the voice of doubt, the voice of depression. But David said to Saul, you know why I can take Goliath down? Because God has helped me in my early life. I took down a lion and I took down a bear, and now God has prepared me to take down Goliath. Amen? And so he said, we bought the truck. Fixed it up. It didn't need much fixing. We got a whole bunch of food, Church of God that they work with. Went downtown Lancaster. You know, Lancaster, Pennsylvania has about 2,000 homeless people. Are you kidding me? With the Good and Plenty, you know, and Shady Maple, Smorgasbord. You've got 2,000 people homeless in Lancaster. Are you kidding me? It's hard to believe, but it's true. And so he says, we're going and giving out this food. But he said, I see that the Amish and the Mennonites, I mean, they're serving like unbelievable food. He said, you know something? The food looks so good. I wanted to become homeless. Don't tell my wife that, though. So I'm hearing this story, and I'm saying, Lord, can you help Joe land the plane? I'm not getting it here. And so the Lord says, will you just trust me? I'm trying to tell you, I'm trying to show you something. So Joe's in his car, he tells me, and he's coming up through Lewistown. He's coming up upstate New York, 15. And all the way, he's coming up the road, and he comes on the campus, and he's just praying, God, what do you want to do with this truck? And I see you from Nisem, and the Holy Spirit said to me, that's what I was trying to get to you yesterday, the Holy Spirit said to me, gift the food truck to Nisem. Are you kidding me? Can we give God praise today? Contending for the faith. And so right in the middle of COVID, we just had it as just a shell. It was an old FedEx truck. It was very well workable, only about 70,000 miles. That thing could go like 400,000, no problem. And in the middle of COVID, people are waiting for their unemployment check, their stimulus check. We were closed as a ministry for about 4 months because of COVID. And then I'm in prayer, and the Holy Spirit says to me, I want you to go to another level because you got to contend better for the faith of God in you and for other people. I said, yeah, but don't you understand, Lord? We're in the middle of a pandemic. You know what the Lord said? There's no pandemic in heaven. There's no COVID-19. No, oh, Pastor, what are we going to do now? Monkeypox. And now the other variant. You know, B5 or whatever. Let me tell you something. You know what? If God chooses to use monkeypox to take me out, I'm going to go out. You know, I was preaching in a church in Leroy, New York. That's where Jell-O was actually, the first factory was ever made. And I'm preaching in a church like this, and it's an old movie theater converted into a church very much like this. And they have a picture of a film that was playing back in the 1930s, and it's with Errol Flynn and some other movie star. And you know what the title of it was? They died with their boots on. That's my mantra. I'm going to die with my boots on, not in a jacuzzi. I'm not going to be electrocuted by the grace of God by a jacuzzi or sunblock number 65. I like to do that once in a while, but I'm going to go and I'm going to give it all I got for Jesus. Are you with me today? World changers for Christ. How do you become a world changer? Become a contender. Say, you know what? I don't care what the town people are saying about the mobile park, about low-income housing, about these. How can we reach these people? Because they're people just like you and me. They need Jesus. And so I said, Lord, what are you saying? He said, I want you to go to another level. And so people are waiting for unemployment, stimulus check. I go to my board. I said, the Lord spoke to me that we're supposed to get a whole kitchen and everything. And they said, Peter, we have no money. We've got to pray for the boards. We have no money. I said, since when did NYSEM, was it founded based on money or operated by money? Wasn't it founded? Isn't it being supported by the word of faith, by the word? I said, okay. They said, okay. Go ahead, do it. We're going to believe God with you. We have no money in the general fund, but we're going to trust the Lord. And in the middle of COVID, in 4 weeks, we needed $50,000. We raised $65,000. Devil, take that, put it in your pipe and smoke it. There is no pandemic in heaven. And you know what, Pastor? We have more of just the COVID variant. There is a spiritual virus going on in the church today. Do you know there's over 1,500 pastors in Protestant evangelical churches that are resigning every month. Church, he's called us to get back into the boxing ring. Maybe you were there and you sort of drifted, or you got tired, or you got an uppercut, and you got knocked down, but God says, he brought me here today to let you know it's time to get up. It's time to put our boots on. Get rid of your sandals. Get rid of your swimming gear. And now let's come on, man up and woman up, and get our body armor together, because this is the last time that we're going to be able to preach and share the gospel, because there is a great ingathering of the harvest, and it's not going to be because of a superstar. Every one of us, God wants to use for his honor and for his glory. Can we get an amen here today? We have a mobile kitchen. The whole thing is stainless steel. We have a 24-inch stove and oven. We have a 36-inch griddle. We have a coffee pot that is able to make 600 cups of coffee. LED lighting for the outside and the inside. We have late night ministry. All over the city, we had that food truck out just yesterday, and every person church that comes through now, they're seeing what God is able to do. And now every church wants to get a food truck. Hopefully, pastors still love me as I close. And the last one I leave with you today, he says, what? Jude says, I have to write this letter to you. It's so a burden. He's so consumed with it. Number one, don't forget, it doesn't matter how many years we have been a Christian, never forget, we were all lost sinners, been saved by grace. That we don't have a self-righteousness about us. We just say, oh, it's only by, what did Paul say? He said, I am what I am. What? By the grace of God. Sometimes we look at people, they got guys and gals have pink hair over here, green hair over here. They have so much bling in their ears and their body and so on. Sometimes people are acting out of their own pain and their hurt. That's why they do what they do. And you just say, Lord, touch them. I don't know what they're going through, but God, touch them. Some people just do it because they want to, but I know there's a lot of people that I know that are doing certain things to their own body because guess what? They were hurt, they were violated, they were abused, they were rejected. And you know what? We as the church, let us not be the church of rejection, but Paul says he has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation, restoration. As we close, preachers close three times. I'm on number two, going on three. Is it okay, Pastor? I'll finish up in a moment. And then you go over to verse 20 of Jude, and he says, but you, beloved, because there were false teachers, there were people coming into the church trying to water down. Oh, don't have too much fire. You don't need so much Holy Ghost. Some even people today, even in seminaries, they will say, oh, you know, the book of, I love the name of this church, Acts. They'll say, oh, well, the book of Acts is over. Where does it doesn't even say that in the Bible. The book of Acts is still alive. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in love, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22, the last sea. And some have what? Education, PhD, money, jobs. No, that's not what it says. And some have what? Compassion. Making a difference. If you could put that slide up, this last slide, and we'll close in just a moment. Have our brother come to the piano. If we could have that slide. We were out at the shelter in the South Bronx right before COVID. The truck hadn't been renovated at that time, but we're still using it. We had these big Gatorade containers putting in hot dogs and all different resources. And I met this man. Where is I call him Jesus. Where's J.D.? Here he is right there. Okay. See, got to check out where Jesus is. I love it. And D has Jesus with him all the time. I love it. Beautiful. So you can start playing, brother. That's okay. Thank you. And so our food truck is open. We're serving hot dogs with certain hot chocolate. I mean, it's like 30 below. I mean, it is cold. Have a team from Alabama, other places. We had about 30. And the people are coming out in droves. And this man comes out. I mean, I had a down jacket. I had sweatshirts. I had layers on, and I was freezing. It was in January. And this man comes out by the truck, and I see him. All he has is a short sleeve shirt, pants, no socks, sandals. He comes out yelling. I mean, this guy is angry. He is not a happy camper. And he comes outside the shelter, and he starts beating his fist against the concrete. I'm watching this. Other people are not ministering, but I'm watching this whole thing. So I go to him to defuse the situation. I reach out. I said, hey, my brother. I said, my name is Pastor Peter. God bless you. What is your name? He said, my name is Hector. I said, Hector, come on over. Are you hungry tonight? Would you like some hot food? Yeah, come. Just settled that man down. He comes over to the truck. I said, what would you like? We don't just give him hot dogs. What would you like on the hot dog? Would you like a napkin? Would you like ketchup, mustard, or onion? I don't like ketchup on my hot dog. I like mustard. How about you? Maybe you like something else. When you ask a person a question, what do? We validate that they are a person, that they have a brain, they have a mind, they have a heart. They're a person, not a number. Especially in this city, they're being moved around like cattle. So I had one of my friends from upstate New York helping us on that weekend. We had so many people. He gives them a blanket. And I look around, and all of a sudden, this guy Hector is standing there like a mummy with a blanket over him. I reached out to my friend Mike. I said, Mike, what's, we don't know. He goes like, I don't know. And so he starts to walk away back towards the shelter. And all of a sudden, he throws himself down on the ground. The blanket's over him. He starts yelling. Then he starts cursing. Then he starts spitting. Then he starts slithering like a snake. Call my leaders. I said, we're going to come against this demon spirit right now in the name of Jesus. You with me today? We cannot allow this to happen. And we laid hands on that man. And we said, the blood of Jesus. And he started yelling and screaming more. You know, when you name the name of Jesus, demons don't like that. But greater is he that's in us. Amen? And so we just keep praying. And I reached out and I said, Hector, begin to call on God. And the demon manifested. He said, my name is not Hector. I said, devil, we know who you are in the name of Jesus. Come out of that man. Then all of a sudden, the people came from the shelter, and the cops came, and within seconds they arrested him, put him in the vehicle. We were like, oh my Lord. But 2 weeks later, he came back out of that shelter, new smile on his face. He says, Pastor, forgive me. I said, brother, you don't have anything to ask God forgiveness as far as that situation. I said, the enemy was tormenting you. Would you like to receive Jesus as your Savior? He received Jesus as his Savior, and there he is with a smile all the way from Mexico with that little bear, little Mickey Mouse that we were giving out to people. As we close right now, Matthew 9:36, what did Jesus say? I live in America, but heaven is my home. America is not my home. I want to put Jesus first. I want to say, God, what do you want us to do? We need your prayers in New York City. Just talking with the pastors over in Brooklyn. People coming from Venezuela, Colombia, and we hear people, even the church and Christian, well, why don't they just stay there? What's their problem? They're going to get in our system. But if you and I were in Venezuela, from what they're saying, the government is persecuting them. They're raping women and children. The government only gives them $100 a month to say, here, this is how you can make it. Not much work at all. And so people are saying, you know what? I'm probably going to die here in Venezuela or Colombia with my family. I would rather take the risk of making it through. There's some refugees that now are in Brooklyn. 67 of them came to the church last Sunday, and out of the 67, 22 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Winter is coming. They have no clothing, no shoes, no winter wear. We're going to be doing more outreaches. I just had an emergency meeting with some pastors last Tuesday night. What is the Lord saying to us as the church? This is the greatest hour of the church. And so I'm going to ask that you would stand right now as our brother just continues to play. We're going to close. Thank you, Pastor Adam and Betty, for allowing me to come. Maybe you'd like to just come right down and join me today and say, this message has spoken to my heart. I don't know how you're going to do it. Just like that young man who came, I said, Lord, we needed a truck. We need a new food truck. I didn't have the contact, but I just went to my Heavenly Father, and God brought the resource. God brought the young man. We shouldn't have this hospital building, but we bought it, and it was all renovated, free of charge by contractors from Hartford, Connecticut. They heard about it. How does that happen? Because when you link yourself with God's heart and the harvest, resources, rivers of resources, tributaries will come through your hands, because we're reaching the world with the love of Jesus. Is that your heart today? Maybe you just want to, I know you're a Christian, but maybe you just want to raise your hand and say, I want to be more of a world changer than ever before. Can I just see your hand right now? Just see your hand right now. I want to be a world, I want to be in the boxing ring of life, and I want to be that contender. If you have your hand raised, I'm going to ask you to just come just for 5 minutes. We'll release you. Brother, could you just play us a song, sing a song, and why don't you just come right now? Would you just come? Come. Those that raised their hand, just come. Mom, dad, boy, girl, young person, senior, doesn't matter age, class. We're just saying, Jesus, I want to be your contender. I want to make a difference. Maybe you can't go to New York City, but you can knit, you can sew, you can pray, you can give. People in our communities, why don't you just come right over here? Come right over the front. And I will sing of your goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. All my life you've been faithful. All my life you've been so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Could we just lift our hands right now to the Lord right now in this room? Lord, we don't know how you're going to do it, when you're going to do it, but we know you're going to do it in our life. And Lord, we're not even going to ask that it happen next week. As we leave these doors, some are going to a restaurant. Some are going to be with people that don't know the Lord, some people that may know the Lord but have drifted away, and they become disheartened by God, by the church, by society. They've lost their vision. They've lost motivation. Today, Lord Jesus, let it begin in me. Is that your prayer today? Just lift both hands right now. Both hands today. Thank you, Father. Oh, Jesus. May this church, Acts Community Fellowship, Lord, today, may the book of Acts come alive in every person's heart and every person's family as we think about going back to the job or our assignment on Monday morning. Lord, may we be reminded, thank you, Lord, for the common salvation. We needed Jesus, rich or poor, we all need Jesus. Help us, Lord, with every breath that we have in our being, to be a contender, not to be a pushover, not to go with the culture. You've called us not to be defensive. You've called us to be offensive, to assert and say, devil, not today, not tomorrow, not next year. You're not going to take this child. You're not going to take this woman. You're not going to take this group of people. I'm going to be standing in the gap. Whatever that means, God, speak, Lord, we pray. And may the heart of Jesus, the spirit by which we move, let it be out of compassion, your heart, because compassion changes. Compassion brings healing. Compassion makes the difference. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. We worship your holy name. So bless your people today. We honor you. We thank you. Continue to stir up the gift of God that's within us. that this world will know that Jesus is not dead, but he is alive. Give us more Hectors than ever before to see people's lives transformed by the power of God. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen. Thank you, Pastor Peter. Fantastic, spot on word, and for the ministry that you do. Really, really appreciate you. You guys can be seated if you want to, real quick, and Pastor Peter will be out at his table. You can connect with him there. Just appreciate your word. That's so spot on what we've been studying here, and it's great encouragement. If you want to give to NYSEM, you can designate on a check through Acts, or you may give it directly to him. If you want to give online, I'm sure you can do it through NYSEM, or you can do that through Acts, and we will get that to him. This week or next week, whatever you can give in the future. So fantastic ministry, huh? That's awesome. Awesome. So thank you all for being here today. Thank you for taking that word, and let's apply that word into our lives as we go forward. Isn't that exciting? Good stuff. Real good stuff. So thank you all for being here today. God bless you. You're dismissed.